Child death from an infectious disease like pneumonia or meningitis, they were all too common in America just 100 years ago. If you read descriptions of life in the 19th century, you quickly realize that children suffering from infectious diseases was common and often devastating. In fact, one out of every 10 babies didn't reach their first birthday. Thank goodness those days are gone. Good riddance. To demonstrate that point, just take a look at the most common causes of death in older infants and children at the turn of the century era. Number one, pneumonia, secondary to influenza. Number two, tuberculosis. Number three, acute gastroenteritis, a diarrheal illness. Notice that all the big three causes of child death have one thing in common. They're all infectious diseases. Have you ever known any children who have succumbed to any of these diseases in today's America? Probably not, because these infections that lead to death in 1900, they are very rare in today's children. Just 40 years ago, at the onset of my pediatric career, pediatricians regularly saved children by treating them for meningitis, sepsis, pneumonia, and dehydration secondary to diarrhea, but not today. Those days of infectious disease deaths, relative to the past, they're almost gone. But pediatricians still regularly save lives by using tools other than traditional medical therapies. What are those tools, you ask? Well, stay tuned to find out and explore this interesting topic further in this edition of Portable Practical Pediatrics.
It's Paul Smolin, MD, your PEDcast host, bringing you informative and entertaining knowledge on a wide range of parenting and child health topics. You have parenting questions. He has answers. It's Portable Practical Pediatrics on your schedule. And here is your PEDcast host, Dr. Paul Smolin.
Well, you're probably asking yourself, if deaths from infections are becoming rare in America, what are children suffering from today? Well, take a look at the 2015 statistics of the leading 10 causes of death in children by age from the Center for Disease Control, and you will quickly see the answer to that question. I've got this listed in my show notes and on my blog. Well, today, death from unintentional accidents is by far the leading cause of death in children. Unintentional accidental death from motor vehicle accidents, from drowning, from fires, from burns, from choking and suffocation accidents, and pedestrian accidents lead the list of tragedies. Note that deaths from pneumonia, the grim reaper of 1900, barely made the list in today's list of child deaths. You can see that while it's great news that children are not dying of pneumonia, parents and pediatricians and society at large still have a long way to go if we are to eliminate the tragedy of child deaths from injuries. Injury prevention is the next great frontier in pediatrics. So how are pediatricians saving lives today, you might ask? Well, when I started practicing pediatrics, a week didn't go by when I didn't save a life of a child by treating them for meningitis or pneumonia. That fact was one of the main reasons that I decided to spend my life treating sick children. It is incredibly thrilling and rewarding to take a child with a life-threatening infection and bring them back to health with the tools pediatricians have today. Well, fortunately, another incredibly powerful tool at a pediatrician's disposal has almost ended the era of infectious disease deaths in children, namely vaccines. We've talked a lot about vaccines over the years in DocSmo.com. So how are pediatricians saving lives today? Rather than using antibiotics, my life saving is done in a more subtle fashion, using the tools of persuasion, education, reminders, nagging, storytelling, praising, and what I like to call authoritative convincing. By using these tools, I know I'm saving lives, even though I'm not there to see it happen. I save lives by preventing tragedies from ever happening, by using words and thoughts to convince parents and children to hedge against taking risks. Yes, I save children today by convincing parents that their children need to be properly restrained while riding in a car, by convincing parents that every child needs enough swim lessons to be safe around water, by convincing parents not to let their children play unsupervised on a trampoline, or even better yet, not buying a trampoline, by reminding families how dangerous headfirst diving into water is, by educating parents how effective helmets are at reducing brain injuries, by making sure that guns are locked and are out of the reach of children, and by reminding parents to have functional smoke and carbon monoxide alarms, and encouraging parents to feed their young children in high chairs and avoid feeding their children foods that pose a high risk of choking. All simple, straightforward advice, but life-saving. Well, you may be wondering if I'm just full of myself, deluding myself into believing that I'm actually saving children's lives with some words at checkups and during visits for injuries. It is true. I have not been collecting statistics or data to prove that my life-saving tools of persuasion, education, reminders, nagging, storytelling, and authoritative convincing, whether they're effective. But I know they are. I know because families tell me they are. I can't tell you how many times I've heard children and parents tell me they got rid of the trampoline because I convinced them it was too dangerous, or let the dirt bike break, making it no longer available for Johnny to use, or put their children back into a booster seat when they realized an adult seatbelt was not safe for their school-aged children. I've even had children tell me that they heard my voice in their heads warning them not to dive just before they were about to go headfirst into the lake on a hot summer day. I know from 35 years of experiences like these that my words have changed behavior and avoided countless tragedies. I also know because I sense the gratitude that parents of my patients express to me when I help them set limits for their children, in front of their children. No longer is it just mom and dad saying no. It's someone with some street credibility and real-world experience who is saying the exact same thing. Well, fortunately, today's pediatricians are using far less antibiotics, far less IV fluids, and less clever pharmacology than they did a generation ago, mainly due to the incredible effectiveness of vaccines. Today's pediatricians are improving the health of children by using their influence to convince parents and children to properly buckle up in the car, to put on their helmet whenever they're playing on rolling toys, to forego the toys with powerful motors, to not play with guns, fire, or explosives, and to ensure that all children have strong swimming skills. After a health visit where I'm directing the conversation, my goal is to put my voice in each child's head that will quietly whisper to them, quote, "Would Doc Smo and my parents want me doing this?" End of quote. Well, by using some very simple but powerful tools, persuasion, education, reminders, nagging, storytelling, praising, and authoritative convincing, I hope that my voice will keep them all safe. Well, thank you for joining me today and making Portable Practical Pediatrics one of the 10 best pediatric blogs in the world, as judged by feedpost.com, August 2017. My audience continues to grow thanks in large part to you. If you enjoy learning about pediatrics and child health with PEDcasts, consider taking a moment to like and share an episode on my blog at www.docsmo.com or on the DocsMo.com Facebook page or on iTunes. This is DocsMo broadcasting from Studio 1E. You know, that's my first child's bedroom on the east side of my house, hoping your children can always skirt situations where they can get hurt. Until next time. I would like to thank the following people for their assistance in the production of this podcast. Dr. David Jaffe, the voice of the introduction. Robert Beezer, the composer-arranger of the intro music. Ann Gesner, my wonderful content editor. Benjamin Smolin and Jerome Moof, the talented musicians who produced this delightful theme music. Sarah Smolin and Nathaniel Horlick for their digital wizardry. And Wendy Smolin Esquire and Seth, the Rocket Man Barrister Jaffe, for their inspirational guidance. Thanks, guys.
By listening to this PEDcast, you agree to all of the terms and conditions found at the DocsMo.com website. This DocsMo.com PEDcast is informational only. Dr. Smolin does not diagnose, treat, or offer specific medical advice for your child. For specific medical advice regarding your child, consult his or her healthcare provider.